sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is a wonderful Saturday morning here. And that you're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And Mr. Gannon, when we get a chance, we've just got all kinds of issues here with our computer, so we're just going to go ahead. Mark Carr.
Good morning, Becky.
Team member of mine, and we are going to talk about kind of how the real estate industry works right now.
It's unique. It's changing. And,
well, it does change, but you know, the basics really have not changed
right
at all. Yeah. The basics of real estate are the same. Your client is either a seller or a buyer. And if one of those, I was going to pull up a contract and kind of look at it. We pretty much have our contract memorized. But when you make an offer on a property, you usually have a realtor attached to you, right?
Right.
And you work with buyers.
I do. I work with buyers. And, you know, a lot of times with people, they're trying to decide, is it the right time? Is it people out there, it's kind of when they talk to us, at least when they talk to me, I kind of feel like they're surfers trying to time. Is it the right time to catch the buying wave or the selling wave? And kind of figuring out, is it – the question we always get is how's the market and whether they're a buyer or a seller. And it feels like – sometimes they feel like it's better one time or the other for those individuals. And
well, and – when people ask us how's the market, what do we respond?
Market's great.
Well,
and it depends on if you are a buyer, a seller, investor. Which one are you?
Yes. So when folks ask us how the market is, usually it is just kind of like when you walk into your doctor's office and the doctor says, "Well, how are you?"
Yeah,
and you go, "I'm fine." And you're not. You're at the doctor to see him for something or see her for something.
Right.
So when we say the market's great, then what do we really mean? Well, what it usually means is we're making a living. But if it really is someone's actually asking the question, like, go ahead and just ask me the question, Mark.
Becky, how's the market?
Well, Mark, it kind of depends. Are you thinking about buying? Or are you thinking about selling? Or are you thinking about investment property or rentals?
Well, we're kind of thinking about selling our house.
Sure. Well, that market is awesome, by the way, because our inventory is very low.
Mm.
So the uniqueness about today's market, however, is that it is a seller's market. Seller's market because sellers can get very high prices for their properties because there are very few properties on the market. However, sellers are still paying the buyer's closing cost.
Mm.
So how does that relate into, is that a seller market? That's kind of...
Right.
That's, in the industry, we talk about this on our team a lot.
Yeah.
Is it really a seller's market when the seller is still paying the buyer's closing cost? Like 91% of the transactions that closed last year had an average of $5,000 where the seller paid the buyer's closing cost. That's the hardest part ever when you explain to someone what the market value of their property is.
That's the one that catches people by surprise the
Somehow,
most when you say
it happens 91% of the time, yet it's a surprise.
Yeah.
How can that be?
Well, but usually, like, or oftentimes the response to that is, well, when I bought my house, it was this, right? And that.
And you know, what is the correlation between when you bought your house and now? None.
Yeah. Sadly, I mean, that's, I mean, sometimes that's a great thing that there's not a correlation, and sometimes it's a bad thing
right.
that there's not correlation. It's a two-edged sword.
Yeah. And other things that we get, we're going to, today, we're going to kind of go over some of our clients' objections to some basic things, right?
Yeah.
So one of the objections that our sellers have is, well, but I paid this much for it, and it should have gone up this much in value.
Right.
Well, so your selling price today, you're wanting to base off what you paid for it, right?
Sure. It makes logical sense to us, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the what would you say if I looked back at the numbers, and it seems that you overpaid for your property by about $30,000?
Well, I don't. I want to let that go. Like
of
that's,
course, you do.
Right.
And say you bought your property for $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you want $250,000 for it now, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Because you're thinking, okay, this property's gone up way more. It's gone up 30, 40, 50%, whatever your number is in value. What if you had gotten a really good buy on that property? Maybe you got a $200,000 property, but you ended up only paying $170,000 for it because of some circumstance of the seller, or you just happened to be a very astute buyer. So would you want to base your price on what you paid for it or what the market value is now?
Right. I want to base it on what the market is value now.
Of course. Yeah. Depending on the
depending
circumstance.
Depending on the,
right.
Right? It's the picking and choosing of facts of right. I want to take the ones that only benefit me.
And the fact is, what you paid for a property has no relationship to what you're going to sell the property for now.
Yeah.
Because you may have paid $170,000. You may have paid $220,000 for this $200,000 property. So that means that there's no relationship to what you paid for it. There may be some kind of a correlation as to how much you owe on that property, and whether or not you can sell it has no bearing on how much you can sell it for.
Yeah. But it has a bearing on how much I can walk away with.
Or bring to closing.
Yeah.
To sell your property. Sometimes people have to bring money to closing to sell their properties. Why would that ever be in a seller's market? We're going to discover that when we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company. Have you heard of that company, Mark? Movers Real Estate.
Movers Real Estate.
Do you know, I'm here with Mark Carr, who is one of our team members, and we're kind of talking about the process of buying and selling and some of the common objections mm-hmm. that folks have when we go out to list their property, and when a buyer wants to buy a property, they'll tell us what they want to buy, and then the objections start coming in because people are a little hesitant to take that big jump.
Sure.
And to, you know, make the commitment, right? So
we want to, do you want to go the biggest buyer's objections or the biggest seller's objections? Which way do you want to head, Becky?
Let's just, we were talking about sellers.
Yeah.
And how sellers object to, you know, we show a list of properties in their neighborhood that's pretty much the same size as theirs, pretty much the same features, pretty much the same age. And there's a range of properties, but somehow they seem to think theirs is worth 20% more than the top value.
Yes, and that's one of the things that it's really amazing to watch with you, Becky, as you sit down with sellers and walk them through, here's how we come to this range of how to list your house for, you know, X amount. Which people, that's the most anxious thing they want to know, is what do you believe my house is worth? That's the question we get over and over again.
And if you, that when we walk into a listing appointment, what we usually do is introduce ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
And if there's two of us that go, sometimes there are, sometimes there's just one, the first thing we do, introduce ourselves and say who we are and what we do on our team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thank you for letting us come into your home. And then we look at the home, right?
Right. We let them take us on a tour of here's the features of the home. And,
mm-hmm.
and what we're looking for during that time is, does it match what we've already discovered about the house?
Because we've done our research.
Right. Is it the same number of bathrooms, same number of bedrooms, or have secret remodeling been done?
Well, or maybe not so secret, but one of the things that we look at when we do our research on the value of a property is we look at the archives. We look at public records. We look at the square footage. Amazingly, some homes grow over the years, you know, and it'll be one size. And condo complexes always amaze me.
That they change often? That
they
have
built, well, they're built, most condo or townhouse type places mm-hmm. have usually about five different plans that you can choose from when they're new.
Mm-hmm.
And they're varying sizes, varying configurations of the rooms. And say they've got a 1,510 square foot plan, and you'll come up when you do your comparables with 1,510 feet for four properties,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to have one that's 1,525. Well, it wasn't built to be 1,525, but somehow somebody measured it at that size.
So how does that change? So like someone came in, an appraiser or and
typically the appraisal values mm-hmm. that size don't change that much. We recently had one.
Mm-hmm.
We had a very stubborn appraiser. If we ever get that woman again, we will reject her because we had four comparable properties that were within two blocks of this house.
Mm-hmm.
She chose to go with the lowest instead of the highest, even though our property was remodeled. And very frustrating, but she also measured it. It had an appraisal on it when these folks bought it, and she measured it 70 square feet smaller, which on this particular house was over 5% of the space.
My goodness.
So who measured it wrong? Well, the difference in that was one person measured a closet that was kind of on the way to the garage as living space, and the other one did not. And it was a storage area, and it's just a judgment call on their part. Now, another thing that is real common, we're putting together an appraisal summit and an mm-hmm. appraisal CE. I submitted the course for CE approval this week to teach at the Central Oklahoma Home Builders Association. And on appraisals, do you count the stairs once or do you count them twice, the square footage of the staircase?
Now, why would they be counted twice?
It's upstairs living space and downstairs living space.
So then it counts as both of them.
What does it? That's what I'm asking.
I wouldn't think it would.
Well, used to it didn't.
Yeah. I mean,
with our taller 10-foot ceilings that are real common in homes now,
uh-huh.
it is usable space downstairs as a closet. So it is counted twice by most appraisers.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's crazy, isn't
yeah.
it? But see, that little difference, especially in a smaller townhouse,
mm-hmm.
is going to make a big difference in value.
Yeah.
So we talk about the size of someone's house when we go out to evaluate and
yeah.
kind of talk to them about listing the property. We do our homework as to size and go, how did this grow?
Yeah.
And used to, we could, one of our selections for the source, where did we get our square footage from? Did we measure it? Did we ask the seller? Did we get it off the county assessor's roll? Did we have an appraisal? Was it the builder's measurement? Was it by the architectural plans? Where did we get that? Well, until recent years, agent has been a source. And I measured every house I listed. And I loved it because I love math. So I was really good at geometry.
Yeah.
Even if you've got that little angled bay window, I knew exactly how to do that. But nowadays, you can't use agent as a source.
I'm so glad of that.
I'm not.
I am not mathy.
You and I are just
we are polar different opposites. With this. Yes.
I don't mind accepting responsibility for that at all because I am diligent.
I've never accepted responsibility for my math. Just ask my parents.
True, right? But the more accurate thing is an appraisal measurement. That's the most accurate of all.
Yeah.
And nowadays, appraisers will come measure your house, cost between $100 and $125 usually, and they will do an appraisal measurement, a little sketch of the footprint, and get you an accurate measurement.
Yeah.
Upstairs are really hard because if you have a sloping wall that slopes down to 4 feet, is all that living space or is it not living space? So that makes a big difference in square footage. Do you measure to the inside of the wall or the outside of the wall if it's attic space? So, in fact, frankly, if you are a realtor and you are wanting to know about those things, you need to come to the appraisal summit at Central Oklahoma Home Builders Association. We have a panel of appraisers, and I'm looking at my calendar.
You're looking for the date for that. And the last time you moderated this, I mean, there was so much helpful information.
Well, and it's going to be the same thing again.
Because, what goes into how much should this house be? And there's so much that goes into that.
Well, that's
and some of it's black and white.
The beginning
and
of
a lot of it's judgment.
The size of the house.
Yeah.
That accounts for about half the value of a home is the actual footage of the house. And I think, if I'm remembering right, that's on June 24th.
Okay.
At Central Oklahoma Home Builders.
And is it going to be live? Is it going to not
live
Zoom?
And interactive. No. Oh, my gosh. I have Zoomed so much. And I hate it because you sit in these Zoom things. Oh, in front of a computer. Realtors don't sit still very easily.
No, we don't.
Because that's not our personality type.
Yeah.
So, no, this will be live and interactive. And it will have food, but not a buffet. We're going to have a box lunch.
Nice.
So that because of the COVID thing. So, okay. So when we go to value a home, when we go to a listing appointment, we do our introduction. We take a look through the home. And let them point out this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sit down with them and go over our marketing. And our marketing plan varies from one property to the next, but the basics are the same. And some properties lend themselves more to, say, drone photography. We've got a couple listings now that it's just necessary to do drone photography because otherwise we would not be showing the actual property.
Right. Especially if there's acreage, if there's special features on it.
Lake.
Right. One
kind of
has
thing.
Two ponds right now. I mean, there's.
Yeah, those are actually lakes, not just ponds. So, I mean, they're spring fed lakes.
Wow.
So, so then we go over our marketing plan, kind of say how ours is different than other people's, and there's nobody that's got a marketing plan like we do. I mean, I can honestly say that. That is. We shine on marketing. And then we go over the technology that we use and whether or not the client's comfortable with the technology that's available. And we don't push technology on you, but we embrace technology if you're willing to use it. And so we go through a little bit of that. And then we go through the valuing of the property. But we do let you know up front that will be the last thing we talk about because we want you to know how we operate.
Mm-hmm.
Because the value of your property really should not be why you list with a realtor.
It so often it is.
It's
like
the
you
deciding
hear,
factor.
This realtor would list it for so many thousands more.
And I'm not going to lie to you just to get my sign in the yard. Yeah. That's for sure. I'm going to tell you what is good about your property and what's going to make the value go command a mm-hmm. good value. Went to a listing this week where the garage was big, and that's going to sell that property. Then the back patio was like triple size. That's going to help sell that property. Went to a listing, I call it U-Tang, kind of between Mustang and Yukon. last week, and it was kind of the same thing, huge garage, huge front porch, huge yard.
Yeah.
Well, the house was nice, but I know what's going to sell it are those other features.
Yep.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the actual real estate business, how it works, and we're going to update you on interest rates when we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company. My license number is 47388. And we are here with Mark Carr,
team member at the Becky Ivins Real Estate team. License number 180484.
There you go. Yeah,
love to kick that in.
Do you know something? I heard a commercial this week of somebody that is going to sell your house for a small fee.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what his license number was? 19 something. It was a 6-digit number, which means he got his license within the last year. And he is going to be responsible for the equity in your home and stumbling for one small fee.
So that's a part of we hear all the time of, well, what about this discount this or this discount realtor this or this service that's a flat fee? And you know, what part of what amazes me, Becky, is these individuals work so hard in the equity of their home. You know, oftentimes it's their largest asset. And who do you trust?
Yeah, well, and the thing is, buyers and sellers are, I think, pretty smart.
Yeah.
And everybody wants a deal.
Yeah.
Discount brokers have been around for decades, yet they have a very tiny little sliver of the market. And if you look at how many properties they actually sell, you would be astounded, because we sell almost every property we list. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Right.
Well, it's not amazing if you know what goes into it. However, ask somebody else. Don't ask them, but ask somebody else to pull their numbers. I welcome anyone to pull my numbers, because it'll tell you how many properties I list,
mm-hmm.
if any expired during the previous year, how many closed, how close to the list price did we get. And I get 1.9% higher than the metro average. So there's 2% right there.
Right.
A 2% increase. How do I do that? How did we do that as a team, Mark? First of all, we know what a property will sell for, pretty much. Every now and then there's a really unique property, but pretty much we know what it's going to sell for. And we will tell the truth about it. We don't take grossly overpriced listings, because I don't want my sign in the yard for 2 years without a sold on top of it. I want it in the yard 2 weeks with a sold on top of it. So that's kind of that's part of it.
Right. It's taking that knowledge and experience and knowing here's where to price a home in the market in order to get the highest income from it in the least amount of time.
Well, and the highest bottom line.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the sales price is.
Yeah.
As long as it will appraise. So long as your bottom line is the highest, because your net is what you care about. You don't care about, I mean, say it could sell for $3 and net you $325. Hey, I'll take that deal any day of the week, right? But if it sells for $4 and nets you $2,
right.
No.
It doesn't.
it doesn't work, right? So, yeah, there's an expertise involved in pricing a property and presenting a property. And presenting is really a very interesting concept. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to do the smallest repair or an entire roof and deal with your insurance company. And we've had a lot of hail lately. I want you guys to write this down because our broadcast area is larger than just the metro of Oklahoma City. And down south, you guys got hail overnight.
There was a lot. Yeah.
A lot of hail. And I want you to write down this number. It is 728-3700. Larry Robbins will come out and evaluate and help you get your insurance money and help you with the new codes that are up and how whether or not your insurance company is going to pay for that. And he will walk you through it. He's really had a real problem with one in our neighborhood, and it is just a testament to his character is how he stuck with that, and he's doing the best thing for the client, and they're thrilled. Their insurance company did not have marring and matching clause in it. And we'll have Larry on again in a couple weeks. And marring and matching is a big deal. Be sure your insurance company has that, or you're going to end up with mismatched shingles.
Right.
Right? Because if they can replace 20 shingles instead of a whole side of a roof, they might not match. And that's okay with the insurance company. They're not going to pay for matching.
Right. If your insurance policy does not have it on there.
Right.
Then...
So, Robbins Roofing, write it down, have it handy, 728-3700. Our word of the day today is listing. We talk a lot about listings, right?
Right.
In real estate, an agreement that represents the right of a real estate agent or broker, in our state, broker.
It's broker.
To handle the sale of real property. Real property is like... land with improvements on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like a house. Could be raw land. So it is the agreement that represents the right of the real estate agent or broker to handle the sale of real property and to receive a fee or commission for services. So typically it's through an exclusive authorization to sell listing. The listing is like there is a list of properties that you are selling. So, anyway, one agency, one broker is given the sole authority to sell the property during a certain period of time. So how is it that we've got so many cross sales?
Cross sales with agents outside because that listing goes into the MLS.
And multiple listing service. And the listing goes in there, and we have a cooperation between agents that where other agents working under a different brokerage can show that property. So, and if you're a member of the MLS, your properties have to go in there unless there's an exclusive exemption for it.
Right, and we have to put it in there within a certain amount of time, and we have to list what the cooperation is going to be between the two agents.
And cooperation is the same for every single property under an exclusive right to sell listing. There's different types of listings, but that's the common one. Mm-hmm. And it's the same except for compensation. And compensation can vary from one property to the next. It's not fixed.
Right.
We have a law, an act like the Civil Rights Act, right? Well, this is the Sherman Antitrust Act that was passed long ago, and I've forgotten when it was passed, but that prohibits us from having a fixed rate of real estate commission.
Right. We can't get together as real estate agents and go, we're all collectively going to charge 10%.
And if we all do it, then they're going to have to pay it.
Right.
Right? So there's a law against that, by the way.
Right.
So, okay, we're talking about listing property and what some of the common objections are, and one of them is the price. So mm-hmm. I usually start out my listing presentation on the pricing by saying these listings that I'm going to go over with you that have sold that are pretty much like your house and in your neighborhood had an average of $5,000 or $7,000 or whatever that was mm-hmm. for that price range home. Expenses paid by the seller. So these are inflated by, say, $6,000. So when we start looking at this and we come up with a price that yours is worth, no, $6,000 is coming off of that. And if you're not paying the buyer's closing cost, buyers are pretty savvy. They're going to offer you a little less money, $6,000, say. So that is the most common objection. But presentation's another one. Mm-hmm. I kind of touched on that presentation. What do we do for presentation?
So a key for us is we get it ready to take our Matterport pictures, which is our 3D tour walkthrough, and we talk with a client about here is what you need to do to make it more inviting. Like just recently we talked about one about where it had been listed previously, and you and I had looked at the pictures and went, boy, those colors should have blended between those two rooms.
And they were not. It was a navy and a gray.
Yeah.
But there was one piece of furniture that's red. So we needed a little bit of, and it was a cute piece of furniture.
It was.
By the way.
I love
that furniture. And their house looked fabulous when we went there.
Right.
And had a little dog, but it didn't stink like a dog, did it?
It did not.
Okay. And that matters.
It does.
Sometimes presentation is to the nose or to the ears. Yeah. You know? If you've got a swarm of wasp as you go out the door and you hear the buzz of something about to sting you, that's presentation. You've got to get that taken care of. You've got to get the curb appeal taken care of. When you walk into the home, you really don't want to notice a smell, do you?
Yeah, and that's the number one complaint we have from buyers is smell. Because there is so much of, because we become nose blind to our own home.
Right.
Of here's what it is, whether it's animals or whether it's teenagers.
And what might surprise you, though, is that people don't complain. Well, they do complain about animal smells. But the most common complaint we get is about flowery smells.
Yeah.
That where people have plugged things in or had a Scentsy sitting around or five or six of them. And buyers know that that's covering up a putrid type of smell, right?
Right. Yeah. So we tell what presentation is, use a neutralizer, not a flowery smell. You're not trying to mask. You're wanting to neutralize the smell.
And to control odor, you need to remove the source of the odor.
Right.
I mean, talk to Tim Fain, Exceptional Carpet Cleaning. He is an odor removal specialist. And sometimes that's the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
Sometimes people want to wash the windows. We advise that, by the way. And sometimes they want to pay someone to come in and clean the carpet. Sometimes they want to do different things that are going to cost money. And if there's a smell, that's the first thing you need to do. Is to neutralize, get rid of the odor.
Mm-hmm. So what do they do when it's their precious pet?
Well, you got to control your pet odor. Folks need to recall what kind of animal like dogs are. They're a den animal. They live in the wild. They live in dens, mm-hmm. right? Little carved out areas, kind of a little crate of sorts. Right?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, keep the animal on tile floor and then mop that often.
Mm.
Wash the bedding of that animal. If the animal sits in a chair, Febreze it. I mean, if it takes a bottle. But get rid of the odor. And take the pets with you when you show your property, by the way. Sometimes cats are a little bit tricky because they will hide. But if you've got a cat, that's a problem. And the problem is a lot of people are allergic to cats, right?
Yeah.
And then their little kid swells up and can't see when they go in there.
Yeah. That's always a struggle when you have a buyer that is allergic to a cat and you got to find out, does this property.
That's not a check box.
It's not a check box. Yes.
Right. Yep. Okay. We're going to return with our smoking hot deals, kind of wrap up our conversation. If you want to call us, please do. It's 405-840-1000. We will answer your question. We'll return with more right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins.
And Mark Carr.
Good morning, Kent.
Good morning, Becky. How are you?
I am fine. I've got about a minute.
Okay. I've got a kind of unique situation. Post-tornado, the May 3rd tornado, house was reconstructed. And when we redid it, we put concrete walls all around all the exterior walls. And 8.5 inches of reinforced concrete and then steel studs. There's no wood in the house. Kind of unique feature. And then there's an 1,100 square foot basement that's not obvious. And how do I get the value for that? And is that something that's a unique feature that's desirable for people that are scared of tornadoes?
It is definitely a unique feature, and you will not get that in your square footage value. What you'll get that in is extra feature value. On an appraisal, they're not going to count any extra for your basement for square footage, but they will give it a value. And I'm happy to talk to you about that at length, but appraisals are something that we're going to talk about in June at length. So I appreciate your call. Mr. Larry Robbins, good morning.
Good morning, Becky. Good morning.
I'll tell you, we've got some hail, and you've got the solution, right?
That's absolutely right. We were on a lot of roofs this week. We just had 16 areas hit with Valpak this week, and the phone's dinging, and there's a lot of damage out there.
And if you have any damage at all, then you need to call Robbins Roofing. That's just my personal suggestion. It's 728-3700. Go to BeckyIvins.com. Look at Becky's favorites. Larry, we appreciate what you do for our community and being able to go out there and giving a free assessment and somebody that we can trust. I trust Larry. You should too. 728-3700. Give me a call this week sometime at 722-3232. Let me talk to you about selling your house. Mark, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Peggy.
We'll see you next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.